It's Football Friday on The Fan.
It's a man's game now.
This is a Football Friday edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
We have great expectations.
The Fan.
Hour number two here on a Football Friday, Danny and Dusty. Dusty out until Monday. We'll order in. Jordan Schultz behind the glass for Jeff Rust. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate you. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. 503-864-6326, the Vancouver Ford text line. Let us know. We started today's show off, because I derailed it immediately, talking about what the line of demarcation is for the level of douchebaggery as
like,
required. How do you instantly know? Like, what are the things? The discussion spun off of
wine snob
cutting off of, like, the line of, like, what an expensive bottle of wine should cost. Like, and the line there was $700. Like, that's what a truly expensive bottle of wine should cost.
It also shows how young I am, because you said it's $700. I was like, no shot I'm paying for that. There's no shot.
Look, man, I make a decent amount of money. I'm not spending $700 on a bottle of wine.
Dude, I think my line might be at 50.
The most I've spent ever was a bottle of Dom Perignon, but that was for my wife and I's wedding, and it was, you know, a celebratory, like, break.
That's also different.
Exactly. It was for a couple of glasses at the beach during COVID, so it was our own special way. And I think that was only, like, I say only comparing it to $700. It was only like $120. So that for me was like, I can't spend any more than this on something to drink.
I was out at dinner with a friend of mine who did current pro athlete, made a lot of money. When he got his first crazy big contract, I had to remember what bottle it was. It was a bottle of Louis XIII cognac, which is like $5,000.
Oh yeah,
that's the most expensive thing I've ever drank.
I was gonna say, when it comes to cognac, if it's not Hennessy, I don't know it.
Yeah, no, that's the most expensive thing I've ever drank. I would say like it was like $5,000, $6,000, something like that.
That's insane. Yeah, that's. The most expensive bottle of alcohol I ever bought was, I bought Pendleton 20 year, and I did it for my dad his birthday or Father's Day. Yeah. I can't remember which. And it was like, that's his favorite bourbon, or it was at the time. Yeah. I don't think it is anymore. And it's like, this is a gift that I'm willing to buy for someone else. Now that leads to this next question. If you buy a $800 bottle of wine, but it's for someone else, does that then take away the debaggery?
No, I would say not.
Does that make you one, or does it go then to the person you're buying it for?
Does it like a transitive property?
Yeah, like does it like, are you both D-bags?
Yeah, like if mom and dad buy you the Supreme, like are they the right D-bags? Or are they the kit? Yeah,
you know what?
It probably is a transitive property,
and they have created a D-bag as well.
Yeah,
well, not necessarily. Like, what if you get it and you're like, man, I would have went for the $500 bottle of wine, like.
It's fair.
So I think it also comes through a little bit with, you know it when you see it.
Yeah.
You know it when you see it.
It's like pornography.
that
was the judge.
That court case.
Yeah, the court case.
There
was
a great text.
You know it when you see it.
There was a great text in or a YouTube chat. I can't remember where it was at, but car driving, WRXs, or the
yes,
the small
Molly,
car
Molly on the YouTube
with the big loud engine or exhaust, yeah. Or, you can hear them where they're coming.
The comment was something along the lines of, for me, it's a WRX. I immediately know who that person is, and you're not wrong. This the Subaru is it's a person that you know.
You gotta love that. Being said, I have met one person who had a WRX. He was awesome to me.
Oh, look, I have two friends in high school, both had brand new WRXs.
This wasn't in high school.
But they were, look, they had some money. But this was after. Neither of them were D-bags, I will say. But one of them is, he works in the car industry now, and he's very successful. And I think people would probably, who don't know him, would 100% look at him and think he's a D-bag. They're like, if I show you, hell, I'll show you his picture when we go to the break.
You assume?
And I guarantee you'll be like, oh, he's a giant D-bag. But he's not.
That's kind of how this guy was. Yeah. Because, again, now, this wasn't high school. This wasn't college. This is like he would drive the car to his professional job.
This is real life.
Yeah, this is. He's an adult. He should have known better. But then some of it had to do with, like, I think he built. He helped build the car with his brother or his dad or something. So then that makes it a little less D-baggy. And then he just wasn't. He looks like it. If you were just pure judging book by its cover, you're like, oh, this guy kind of sucks. And then you start spending time with the guy and you're like, oh, he's actually a pretty cool dude. He's a good guy. I like him. But he definitely is like the weird anomaly when it comes to having the WRX and not being a D-bag.
To that point, what we started opening the show with, Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. I work in the wine business. We specialize in wines online for $6 to $15 per bottle. You'd be shocked how often the cheaper wines beat the snobby wines when you taste them blind.
That's what I've heard.
I'm not surprised at all because I think most people don't like most like expensive wines. A lot of this is going to sound really pretentious, like the notes of those wines, the tastes of those wines are acquired tastes. They like, most people like their fruity wines. They like their gentler, sugary, like
Mad Dog 2020 wines. Yes, yeah, yes.
Like, yes, they like
that's
that,
malt.
Like,
that's not wine.
Yeah,
but like, no, it's in the wine section. I swear to God.
Oh, it's in the wine section.
You know, that's when you walk down the aisle and you see the vibrant whites. You know, it's like that. Or the what's the
Riesling?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, what's the bubbly
rosé?
No. It's
champagne.
It's like that.
That's
but it's not
that's
quite,
the wines. That's all I've got.
But there's another one I can never. Moscatos.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
if you go around and like go to brunch and you ask people if they want their wine or the Moscato, like I imagine probably 8 or 9 out of 10 people, particularly the Oregon white woman, they're going to go down the Moscato path. Like I think we all kind of know where that's going to go, which is a nice transition here. I was at a restaurant with my wife when we were dating one night 6 years ago, and it was a really nice restaurant where, you know, you get your wine pairings, all that kind of thing. The Philadelphia 76ers are in town, and J.J. Redick and Joel Embiid are at the table across from us, and, you know, they draw some attention because Joel's a massive human being and very recognizable. In walks Timothy Butler in a, like, king style, you know, like cape.
Yeah, that
rocks. Dalmatian style, like cape that ties
in the Cruella DeVille.
Yes,
that rocks.
Yes. And it had like a silk shirt on underneath it, and then like boxing shorts. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like actual like boxing, like ring shorts.
Yes.
The
yes.
shimmer, like with the cut up the side kind of a deal.
Living in America. He's got the Apollo Creed on as well.
100%. And he's got slides on. And Jimmy walks in and takes over the restaurant. Sits down. And there's a sommelier in the restaurant. And the sommelier does not leave Jimmy's table for the rest of the night. He's brought out, I want to say, probably anywhere from 12 to 20 wines
that
for all
sense.
Of them to tie. Like, he knew, like, because Jimmy's a big wine guy.
Yeah.
And it all.
Coffee.
He's all, yeah, big face coffee. But I say all of this because I wanted to find a way to transition to Jimmy Butler, and there was an easy way to transition to Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler has let the Miami Heat know that he wants out. Ladies and gentlemen, just round of applause all around for the best front office in sports, the Miami Heat. Congratulations to all the Miami Heat fans out there who sat there and stood on business and told me that their organization doesn't lose stars. Doesn't lose stars, guys. They don't, like, they take care of their own despite the fact that they ran LeBron James out of town. They traded Shaquille O'Neal. They ran Dwayne Wade out of town. Every star they've ever had, they've run out of town or forced out of town in one way, shape, matter, or form.
Well, he's not having fun anymore, Danny. That's why he wants to leave. They didn't
run
him out of
town. Do we have the audio from old Jimmy Butler last night?
We do. Let me get it for you.
This is fantastic.
What do I want to see happen? I want to see me get my joy back from playing basketball. And wherever that may be, we'll find out here pretty soon. But I want to get my joy back. I'm happy here, off the court. But I want to be back to somewhat dominant. I want to hoop. I want to help this team win. Right now, I'm not doing it.
Can you get your joy back here on the court?
Probably not.
Great question. No.
Probably not. That's funny.
He's old. I didn't realize how old Jimmy Butler is.
They're not going to get
fourth stop. Right?
They're not going to get anything for him.
No, and why would you give it up? He misses so much time now. Like right now, another star that misses more time than Jimmy Butler is maybe Kawhi.
Paul
no
George.
One else. Paul, I think Jimmy Butler's right up there with them. Joel Embiid, like, if you're talking about the starting five for stars that never play, there's four.
Sure. But I mean, like, here's the thing. Jimmy Butler can and will be so toxic. Like, we might need to, like, Bleacher Report might need to go out and bring everybody back to start up Game of Zones again for the level of toxicity Jimmy Butler can arise to.
Well, what's...
For those that don't remember,
yeah,
in Minnesota,
Timberwolves.
This is legitimately word for word, bar for bar, what has happened. And it has been reported across the board, whether it's Jeff Teague, whether it's Rachel Nichols. The public understands how crazy this was. The behind the scenes is just as bad and then some. But let's rehash this real quick. Jimmy Butler has demanded a trade from Minnesota. And at practice, he doesn't show up. Then all of a sudden, 30 minutes into practice, he shows up. And he's got Minnesota Timberwolves practice gear on, except he has cut the logo out of the middle of his shirt and out of his shorts. So he's got a Nike workout Timberwolves t-shirt on with a circle cut out in the middle of his chest. And then a circle cut out in the middle of his shorts.
That rocks.
And he tells Tibbs that he's going to go. And Tibbs, you know, his guy, it's his coach, you know, he's like, oh, whatever, all right, Jimmy's being Jimmy. Jimmy goes, no, I'm not going to run with the ones. I'm going to take the back end of the roster, and I'm going to beat the crap out of the starters, which included, unfortunately, Jeff Teague at the time, and
Karl-Anthony Towns.
And Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Butler goes at Karl-Anthony Towns' chest over and over and over and over and over and over again, scores it on him over and over and over again. This is in front of everybody, and he is talking cash bleep the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
They win. They blow the starters off the floor. I think, if I remember right, their team scored twice. Jimmy, instead of keeping it going, runs to the locker room and runs out. Doesn't come back. Like, they're waiting for him to come back.
He leaves. He had something to do.
And the next thing he does is he shows up in an interview at his house with Rachel Nichols. They're watching it at the practice facility, this interview.
Jeff Teague's retelling of this story is second to none.
Because Jeff is like, what did I do to deserve this?
Jimmy Butler bodied the whole organization. Now, I don't know that he could... He can force his way out, but he can't do it in this way with Miami because he's not the... I don't think he's that guy anymore.
I don't know if he is. I think...
He's old.
The discussion that around the NBA media circles is that he's been quiet quitting all season.
Well, he kind of did it last year. Well, like, he missed so much time.
Well, here's the thing. And they said this last night on NBA and TNT. It's the worst kept secret in the NBA, and Heat fans acting like this is new news, Miami media acting like this is new news, is hilarious at best. He has been angry for close to a year.
Basically, after they lost to the Celtics, correct me.
Well, even
if I'm
before
wrong.
That, like they knew, like he knew he was like number one. He wasn't getting help.
Oh no, not that Celtics. The year before. The year before.
Yeah. But they didn't get help. You know, the only thing they did was they went and got Terry Rozier, which was hilarious. Remember they called Terry Rozier 80% of Damian Lillard. How'd that work out?
Is that a high joke?
No, just like his production. It's just, look, scary Terry. I like Terry. He's nowhere near Dame. But beyond that, they haven't done anything. And this idea that they somehow have the high road, that they're going to come out on top. Jimmy Butler has a $50+ million option. You can't just wait this out. It was like, well, Jimmy will sign a 3-year deal for $80 million. I'm like, you sure about that? I don't think that's necessarily the case. This man, when he plants his flag, and Pat Riley is also the same in that regard. Mm-hmm. When they that's what's going to make this a train wreck.
It's because they're both going to say no, and they're going to fight and fight, and they'll never.
And it's going to hurt.
Compromise.
It's going to hurt Miami more than anyone because Jimmy's going to be fine.
Well, I don't totally understand why Miami wouldn't move off of him. I don't think you're going to get a ton of trade value back for him, but what is this Miami team going to do? Like, you don't have a championship roster, to be frankly honest. Like, you're lucky that you got to two championship series.
Yeah, and that was because of Jimmy.
Yeah, and, well, one, I don't think he's that guy anymore, right? And he doesn't want to be that guy. If he is still that guy, he doesn't want to do it for you.
No, and he told Shams Charania and Brian Windhorst that he would like to play for literally anyone but Miami.
My favorite part was he's like, I love Miami. In my personal life.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's...
Yeah, off the court, it's great here.
Oh, he's 100%. Like, he's just...
No income tax?
I mean, he's just shoveling coal into the fire. Like, he's... He has reached the... Oh, you want to see, like... The thing that everybody thought Dame was going to... I shouldn't say. The thing that Miami media thought Dame was going to do is what Jimmy is going to do. Jimmy is... When it comes to being the most toxic... Like, James Harden, when he's requested trades, he goes to strip clubs and sits in the silence.
He just gets fat. He just goes and finds a bunch of
Jimmy
food.
Jimmy Butler torches the world around him.
He's not afraid to.
No, well, this is what he does.
He also, like... All he wants is a title. He's a second-round draft pick, if I remember right. Like, he was...
Well, he was a 75th rated recruit in Texas.
Right.
Not in the country.
He wasn't highly recruited. Like, no, he made himself into this.
He goes to Marquette and this Tom Crean guy, you know, becomes, you know, what he is now, mm-hmm. which is a Hall of Famer. And... You know, he's a self-made story. That's the Jimmy is he's a double-edged sword. Yes, he's a lunatic and he works hard and he's your culture and he'll drag you, but also everyone gets tired of Jimmy because it's kind of Chris Paul-ish in the sense of like...
Jim Harbaugh would be the comp I would go with.
Yeah.
Like, he is great and you always win with Jimmy, but
he wears on you because like
8 years.
That...
Yes.
That level of mentality, most people can't handle it for very long.
Nope.
I've had a lot of people ask me, like, where is he going to go? Like, if he gets moved, I continue to believe that the Golden State is the most likely landing spot. I don't think the Warriors are going to actually do it because I think that they're there bluffing because much the same way that Miami doesn't want to, you know, make a move that makes sense for their, you know, that hurts them long term. I don't think the Warriors want to give up actual capital.
Right. Well, the other thing is, and maybe I can't be the only one that realizes this or thinks this way, but Jimmy Butler doesn't make them a championship team. That
no, but you ride
sense.
Out the years with Steph,
Jimmy,
and Dre,
and you're relevant, and I get that.
And that's like if that's what Steph wants, that you do it because that's what Steph wants.
And if that's the case, then that's fair. I've never understood the superstar that forces their way out and then doesn't go to like the best team, right? Like. Mm-hmm. If you're going to force yourself to the best team.
Well, I mean, and now, though, with the CBA the way it is,
that's true.
It can't happen.
That's true. That's true.
That's the thing is, like, I've talked to a lot of agents over the last year and, you know, particularly kind of the triage of the Dame trade.
Mm-hmm.
Dame's the last trade of, like, where a guy, like, went to a team that could legitimately win a title. Like, Dame going to the Bucks, like, that's it.
Yeah, they could win a title.
Well, it's hard to trade $60 million superstars, and now it is even harder to put multiple of those on a roster under the new CBA.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking to somebody last night heading into the game, and they're like, you can't have more than two guys. It's almost impossible unless, you know, you're talking about...
You draft them.
Well, yeah, the rookie scale salary, because like the Boston Celtics are up for sale right now. Whoever buys that team is going to have a $300-plus million luxury tax bill.
Well, most of them are going to... bounce.
Well, even it doesn't matter though. Like, right. you're still gonna have to, like, and the thing people don't understand is, like, you don't have to be liquid in assets mm-hmm. for a lot of this stuff that you do.
Right.
You have to put that money, like,
you have to pay people there.
No. I'm talking about the luxury tax. Like, you have to cut a check. You don't get to, like, string that out.
Oh, I don't know that I knew that.
Oh,
yeah. You got to write a check directly to the league at the end of each year.
Here's a $360 million check
by a certain date. Otherwise, I don't know what happens.
You don't get to put like $36 million in escrow and then pay the rest out. Like, you don't get to put this on layaway. So you have to be liquid for those luxury tax payments. So yeah, you may end up making $700 million on the year, but you still have to cut the check for $360 million. That is not a...
That's pretty penny, man.
Look,
that's why
even like Joe Lacob, who's making a fortune on the Warriors, is like, no, we need to get cheaper. It's why Jeannie Buss and the Lakers don't go in the luxury tax, because they're not... She's worth, I want to say, $400 or $500 million outside of the Lakers' vested ownership.
Yeah.
She can't go cut a check for you know, $200 million.
Yeah.
She's not that liquid. Mm-hmm. And so, like, all of these things all impact this. And we'll follow away to, you know, where Jimmy ultimately ends up or doesn't end up. But I just, it's been very, very, very funny for me to see how all of this is turning out for Miami spending the way that they did for the entire year.
You said that this was going to happen, though. Back when
I literally said you're going to see Jimmy do this last year.
Because that's what he's always done. But that's also what NBA players have always done. Are we going to get to the point, though, where they don't?
Well, they're not going to be able to, so possibly.
Yeah, to an extent. Yeah, that's kind of like, that's where this stuff goes. So, coming in next, we ran a little bit long here, so maybe we'll dive back into the Vancouver Ford text line here a little bit for some of this. But we do need to get to the NFL because there's some games that matter and the games of consequence. We'll get to those coming up here next on Danny Dusty, Tenny the Fan. Vancouver Ford text line right now is coming out my nose. Folks have thoughts and opinions on Jimmy Butler. Should the Blazers trade for him? No, they shouldn't.
I don't know. I think he fits in their timetable.
Yeah, definitely not.
35 is the new 25, they say.
They wouldn't win games, that's for sure.
I mean, look, I love Jimmy. Jimmy Butler was a player who was available. What was it, 2016? 2015? I can't remember what year it was now off the top of my head. He could have been a trailblazer. Almost a decade, actually, like quite literally almost a decade ago.
Ugh. That's when I graduated high school.
Oh, God. We can't do this every day that you're in here.
No, but it brings me so much joy. It's like, I wasn't even calling you old earlier, but you were like, how dare you? You said old.
Because you used a hard R on older, and it was felt mildly racist.
Dude, no, 50 is older than me. That's an older age. You're in your 30s. You know that's older than me.
Everybody in the world is older than you. You're the youngest person here.
They're not all older than me. Trust me. Trust me. I'm the old guy in my circle, so I finally get to be the young guy.
Kind of sad.
I was always the youngest because I graduated so young. What's funny is I never dated a younger woman until my wife.
Oh, yeah?
Every girl I ever dated was always older than me.
Robbing that cradle, you.
Yeah, you know. But she doesn't let me forget that I'm 40 and she's not. So
24 again?
No, she's not even, she hasn't even hit 39 once yet.
Oh, right.
Yeah, no, I think he was asking you, like, you're going to stay 32 forever.
No, right? No. She just keeps turning 24. Like, yeah. The years keep going, yeah. But remember, no, time is a social construct. No,
she still hasn't even turned 39 once yet. So, but yeah, it's an interesting spot. This is going to be a quick turn and burn segment. Sorry, guys. I didn't keep us on the clock. So
nah, that was
No, it's my fault. I'm usually much better about it. But so when we come back, we're going to have our worst day on the web. And look, we've actually talked about this once before, but now we're coming full circle with the grandioseness of the Japanese toilet. But first, here's Schultzy with a Sports Center update. I want to say something like 6-8 months ago, yep. Dusty and I went down the path of the very high-end toilet.
I think I was here for that.
Yeah, you might have been here for
that. Was that the gold toilet thing?
Yes.
I remember this. This was pretty awesome. It spilled into primetime as well.
South Park did an episode on the Japanese toilets.
Where he
kind of walks into the Home Depot and he's looking for a toilet and he's like, well, you know, this price range is this. And then they're like, then there's Japanese toilets, but you know, you can't afford. He's like, I can afford that.
You're too poor.
And they it's a roped off toilet, like it's the Chinese theater in LA kind of a deal. Like it's this exclusive area. It's like protected.
You've got to earn this toilet.
They're these $10,000 toilets.
The theme song that they play as Stan's dad is walking up to the toilet is just, it relaxes you. It's glorious. I could listen to that right now.
It is like this toilet. It's the same company. It's the Toto. It's the NeoRest NX1. It is a dual flush elongated chair with integrated smart bidet seat, tornado flush, pre-mist, and e-water plus.
Nice.
It is all one piece.
As opposed to being a two-piece?
Here's the thing. Here's when you talk about the marketing materials. The pre-mister says, using the incoming water supply, pre-mist wets the toilet bowl surface, aiding the elimination of waste approximately 80% better than a dry bowl. So basically, if you're eating right now, I'm sorry. If you get the explosives and, you know, you get a little splatter action, you don't have to get the brush out. It's already wet. So
it'll take care of it.
It takes care of it for you.
See, Maybe it's because I'm poor.
Oh, yeah. No, it's 100% because you're poor, because this goes on further. After each use, eWater Plus sprays the bowl with electrolyzed water. Not alkaline water, electrolyzed, reducing the need for harsh cleaning chemicals.
Again, it's because I'm poor, but this seems a bit excessive. What's wrong with the normal toilet?
Okay, well, because this also keeps going. There's a dryer, which enjoy the ease and comfort of drying with a temperature-adjustable warm air dryer.
They have a Dyson underneath me?
You can crank it up, or you can turn it down, because it's got an adjustable dial on it, so you don't...
Shut up.
Yeah, it's got an adjustable dial on the temperature, so...
I've got heated seats, baby. Where at? Not my toilet.
Not even just heated seats, though. Like, it has, like, a dryer, so, like, in case you want to make it... Maybe you like the feeling of the cold air on the.
Oh, it can be cold. You got the AC toilet.
Yeah, maybe you don't like
for those hot summer days.
In case you're one of those weird people who has a blow dryer who's been like, I'm going to dry off everything with a blow dryer, and you've gotten a little too close before.
You ever gotten sweaty down there?
Hold on. Why? That was too specific. That was too specific. What have you done with your blow dryer, sir? Look,
my wife may or might not show me one time. You know, like she gets out of the shower, and she will occasionally use the blow dryer to assist in drying off because she likes to be warm. And I was like,
I did that a lot in college.
What?
Yes,
got a blow dryer and you were blow drying?
Yes, no. I was trying to, yeah, because I had a little bathroom to myself, and I'm like, I'm cold. I'm just going to get myself warm.
I will just
say
that blow dryer gets awful warm. And a little bit of angle to the dangle, and sometimes you can get a little close with the coil.
Those participles warm up pretty quickly there, Danny.
No, I wasn't really paying that much attention. I was like, whoa, that's a very hot air.
No, dude, I had long hair, and I did not have hair. Yes, I did.
I've seen the picture.
I was like, hold on now, sir. I learned how to braid, and I did not use a hair dryer once. There's no shot. It seems like a waste.
All of this to talk about the toilet because the designer of the toilet says, you know, it's weakness. Do you know what its weakness is?
Love.
Fat people.
Mm. Both good guesses.
Texas barbecue?
No, it's, another it's good actually, guess. It's prepared for that. Its weakness is toilet paper.
yes.
That seems like a flaw in when you make a toilet.
And by that, I mean... People have complained about the toilets, and particularly the toilet seat, because like it's becoming so rough and like
the toilet seat is rough
because they're saying, well, yes, the toilet paper you use, it has particles in it that like files it down. I'm like, whoa. Are you using like fine granite for your toilet seats here? Like,
well, no, actually, my wife did just educate me on toilet paper. It contains so many chemicals and so many kinds of things.
It's not just the chemicals though. It's the wood particles. Like, because look, I am cheap. I wear sweats all the time. Like, I'm one of those people where I am cheap until it's something I want to buy. And then the things that I buy are nice. Fair. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of where
totally
I am not frivolous with money.
Fair.
For me, so like when I do spend money, like on toilet paper, I buy like the 5-ply.
Yep.
You're getting the Charmin.
Oh, dude, brother, I have like the black card for exclusive Charmin. Like I go and get the most expensive, thick, like I like to wipe my butt with a blanket.
Give me the toilet paper with the aloe vera in it.
Oh, yeah.
Aloe vera? There's
Yes, go get Cottonelle's aloe vera toilet paper. Your booty will thank you.
I'm just telling I refuse to be stink fingered.
Oh, yeah.
Military toilet paper is sandpaper that also tears immediately. So it cuts and you there's not enough layers you can put together to keep yourself from being stink fingered.
What I'm realizing in this conversation is that I don't think I think enough about my toilet needs.
Brother,
I don't think about toilet paper at all.
You've never experienced the greatness. That's
well, I've never, like, I don't go 5-ply. I definitely don't go 1-ply, but I also like, I've never thought about using a hair dryer, although I don't have hair now, yeah. So it would be very weird if I did have a hair dryer.
I'm just saying, like, if you ever get a lady friend that moves in, you know, you hear the hair dryer going, like, hey, it's already warmed up. Let me give that a shot.
I don't know that I will. That might be one that I just missed the boat on.
I'm saying
that might be one. It's the same thing with like the bidet. Everyone talks extremely highly of the bidet.
It's amazing.
Along these same lines,
I don't know that I'm going down that road.
I was once in a gym at 24 Hour Fitness, saw this old guy straddling the hand hair dryer with his crotch to dry off. I'm not even mad. I was just impressed. Look.
Old guys at the gym,
they the more naked they are, the more likely they are to talk to you.
There's something about...
Shout out headphones.
Like, once you turn, like, 65, 70...
Careful.
There's a rule where apparently...
You're going to use that hard R again.
No, I wasn't going to call them old. Ancient. But when you turn somewhere between 65 and 70, if you're, like, a frequent male gym goer... Someone like talks to you, they reach out, send an email, maybe it's a phone call, but you just get told that you never have to wear clothes again. And you just walk around the entire locker room talking to as many people as you can, as naked as you possibly can be. And that's coming from a dude who, like, I played collegiate football. Dudes were naked all the time. Dudes showered together all the time. And for whatever reason, at somewhere between 65 and 70 years old, it's like, finally, I get to join the Nakey Club.
I mean, it's freeing. And I think in the same way, you need to kind of understand that as it pertains to your toilet usage.
I need to get older.
Have you ever used a bidet?
No. I don't have bidet money.
Out, bro.
I barely have Charmin money.
Look, I'm just like...
I don't own a bidet, but I've still used one in my life.
Yeah, but I don't play road games.
Your looper, Sook, is pro bidet.
I know he is, but I'm also like I'm not playing road games.
Well, you've never house sat anywhere with a bidet?
No,
I would never. No. I try not to S in public, but like if there's a house that I'm at and there's a bidet, yeah, I'm probably gonna check it out.
I'm house sitting right now. No, I haven't even had the opportunity. I remember I had some buddies in college that like they all pitched in. They saved up for a month or two,
yeah,
like to go and buy the bidet. I'm not anti bidet. I just haven't tried the bidet. And I don't know that I'm going to go, like, I'm not going to play a road game to try the bidet, so then I'd have to purchase the bidet, and I don't know that I want to purchase the bidet. My money goes to other things. Usually sports gambling, or, like, pre-workout.
See, this is where you're missing out.
Or protein shakes.
You're improving your life.
I bet you money
comes
will.
Along these lines.
Yeah, but I bet you money, once you experience it, you'll be like, okay.
I'm not anti-bidet. I'm like, it's like, I'm not anti-Ferrari.
You don't know what you are.
Well, I'm not anti-Ferrari. I just haven't had the opportunity to drive one.
But see, that's the thing is, like, there's much more ample opportunity to try the bidet than there is to try the Ferrari.
But again, I don't play road games. I'm home games only.
Seems like you're a bit of a coward.
Totally fair. I like playing at home. I know the field dimensions. I know the layout. I know what I can and can't get away with. I stay at home.
I'm weird. I don't like to poop like that in public or like in the workplace unless I absolutely have to. I don't even like to go in and make noises. It's just so weird.
I have zero shame. I will.
I have so much shame.
Doesn't matter where.
Here's the thing. I won't play road games for that. I have no issue showering anywhere. Like, I shower at the gym all the time. I'm going to go to the gym today.
I shower here.
I haven't had the opportunity to shower.
I think Sook and I are the only ones.
No, Fish has too.
Oh, Fish has too?
Okay. Yeah. Rob walked in on him. Yeah.
Got to see some fish butt.
Yeah. No, Rob was telling me about it. He's like, I've now seen, it's like, yeah, he's like, I've seen too much of my coworkers, which I would shower here. I just haven't had the opportunity to.
Okay. This, we might need to keep this going. The idea of, does seeing your coworker, like, even if you like have known somebody for a very long time.
Yeah.
The idea of seeing your coworker naked, does that make it like that much worse?
Nah.
Depends.
I can look at you guys naked. It's all good. We'll come to work the next day. I won't care.
I know.
You better grab that. You 100% better grab that. That's... I literally just waited.
I walked right into that one.
I just waited for that. Like, my God.
Apparently, like, there's practical uses for the bidet, too. Like, if you have cancer, according to the Vancouver Forward text line.
Oh, actually, that is true.
If you actually know somebody,
I'm not anti-bidet. I just haven't used it, and I don't see an opportunity.
I just find it funny that the $10,000 toilet's weakness is the thing that it flushes. Because
it
the,
should, yeah.
Because the, well, no, it's not the flushing. Well, it's the problem. It's the seat itself is made out of like this plastic resin, like it's this very high grade, high class, and it can be like scuffed to the point of like.
It's a flaw in the design.
Have you ever sat down on something with like short shorts on and like had a bench like grab a leg hair or something?
All the
like
time,
that?
Dude.
Okay.
I wear aggressively short shorts.
Okay.
All the time.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
But that's what this does. It ends up like pinching you. It grabs your butt.
Huh. That seems like a flaw in the plan. Like if you're going to design a toilet, shouldn't it be able to handle toilet
the thing
paper.
That it like it disposes of?
Also, and this is going to show my lack of bidet knowledge, isn't the point of the bidet not to have to use the toilet paper?
Well, they're just, yes, but they're also saying it's functional as a
regular
toilet, but also it serves as the, what do you call it? They're talking like when you like, you get a little, you know, sometimes the aim's a little off.
Oh.
You get it on the toilet seat.
Like you don't
wipe it off.
You don't have the little like controller. You know? Like you can't move it.
Have you, this is the total derail. Have you seen the simulation
of a bidet?
Of a woman trying to pee as a man.
You're talking about like on TikTok with the hoses?
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Good luck with that.
Well, no, there's like a more precise one because they have like the men trying the period cramp like electrodes.
I'd do that. I'd be interested. I'd want to know.
Yeah. But they also have like one of like for every woman that's ever out there and like, how do you miss? And it's like, okay.
Like, watch this. Sometimes you don't even miss. You're just 6'6" and there's a splash factor. You ever done a cannonball before? Well,
have you seen that what's going on in the Nordic countries?
No. Are they inventing new ways to pee? What's happening?
Apparently, like they're having a problem over with tourists because they set their pee troughs up too high because everyone in the Nordic countries is so much taller than the average person.
Sounds like I do well over
so,
there.
So, like the shorties are like having like stand on like stools to pee.
The height of toilets or walking or that like stand use toilets is rough because if it's too low, you get the fallback or like the brush back the on splash. Your knees or whatever. Yeah. That is the worst when you got your own pee on your legs just and you're doing it like in the bathroom and like, this isn't supposed to happen. And I walk out grosser than I walked in.
That's why I pee with the wind.
What?
Sounds like you're a coward.
I don't pee into the wind. I got taught that lesson from an early age.
No road games and not against the wind, okay?
Yeah, no road games. Not anti-bidet. Just haven't done enough research. It's like, you can't wear cleats in a game that you haven't worn at practice, but I'm not going to practice on a road game unless I absolutely have to.
It's little things. Also, you're a coward.
That's fine. I'm cool with that.
Unbelievable.
It's that and heights. Anti.
Fair enough. That's our worst day on the web. We got completely derailed there. When we come back, we'll visit some of the thoughts here on the Vancouver Ford text line, particularly as it pertains to the line of demarcation when it comes to debaggery. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Your thoughts on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. This is a fun little thing about going on here today. I say all throughout the show. The line of demarcation of debaggery as it pertains to all things in life. This came about because of the a random occurrence of my wife watching far too much reality TV. And a vineyard owner saying, like, yeah, we make the price of wine, like, dumb expensive because we know people are pretentious and debaggery and that they'll pay this money to kind of show off. It's like the people who pay to have bottle service at the club. And it's like, you just paid 100 times more than that bottle's worth.
Just because you get the sign and everyone sees the sparklers and everyone's like, oh, they're throwing it around. Person who throws money around in a club
is legit.
100%. They're the worst. Yeah. This might be a 27-year-old thing and maybe even a little bit younger, but dude who watches Nelk videos.
Watches what videos?
Yeah, what?
Nelk. It's a group. It is the height probably of bro culture. Like okay. Their last big video that I had been aware of was they got Tucker Carlson, the biggest Zin can you could buy.
Oh yeah, he does Zins, doesn't he?
Yeah, that was their whole thing around it. Yep.
Okay, that's kind of funny.
See, they're known for going to a place, having a party, and then just hitting on like sorority girls.
Oh, God.
And they are around my age, I think.
So not creepy, but questionable.
It's a little old.
Yeah.
And they've been doing this for years.
So what's his name? The guy that owns the weed company, Blazarian.
Oh, that guy sucks. That guy sucks. Yeah. He's the peak of that. Oh, anyone who's like, you know, Andrew Tate had a really good post yesterday on Twitter. If you come up to me and you're talking about Andrew Tate, you suck.
This one's an interesting one. This one might cause some questions. I have a cousin who bought a $10,000 wooden dining room table with four chairs at $2,000 each. Is that a douche move? That's the thing is, I think that's the difference between me being older and not. If you're talking about like
if this is like a handcrafted, like wooden dining table, like it's incredibly nice. Mm-hmm. I think if you're talking about like fine furniture, something like that, that it's not single use. It's going to be around for a long time. And if you have the money, okay. Is it pretentious? Probably. But like real furniture costs a crap ton.
That's
like,
true. That's like, true.
The what difference between, not to do this to you, the difference between your couch now.
Oh, dude, my couch, I got it for free. Okay. We're good. I understand.
That you get when you're 45 or 50.
Yep.
Like, I know, God, I have a very expensive, or had, I should say, a very expensive leather couch that lasted for like 17 years.
Yeah.
That's what they do. They're like, nice. Like, they're supposed to last a long time.
And it's like, it's a very nice couch. Yeah. It's like, and when you, if you saw how much I paid for it, you'd be like, you what?
Right.
It's like, yeah, the thing that I sit on every single day that everybody else sits on every single day that gets more, like, you're talking about, like, if you start, like, doing, like, the dollar per usage.
Mm, then it comes back
around. It's a pretty good ratio.
So, here, on the text line, they just said, if you bring it up every time for dinner, then it becomes a douche move.
Yes, and
I agree 100%.
Like, if it's just there, like, now look, if the guest comes over and says, oh, what a nice table.
Right. So then it would depend on how you bought it then. So it could be. It has the potential.
It has the potential to be very douchey.
It's the same thing with like the super nice house that looks out on, you know, the forest or the ocean or whatever. If you bring people over and be like, I just bought this for 1.3 and I'm going to put in another 4.
Yeah. But if you're just like, you have the nice house and people want to come over to your nice house and you want to like entertain people at the nice house, like that's the whole, like you've worked for that. Like that's
you've
like,
you've earned it.
But if you're just inviting people over to show people how cool your house is, it's pretty douchey.
It's kind of, I kind of feel this way with like music tastes. Like my brother is notorious for like, hey,
the niche band.
Yes. Or the niche artist. And then as soon as everyone finds him, hates him. Right. As soon as
pretentious music guy might be one of the worst there's no, what's funny is it's like gatekeeping without money.
Yes.
it's cheap gatekeeping.
100%.
It's like when you say that, look, I'm not trying to do this to you, but like, that's the kind of thing for me where it's like, oh, you're broke, so you need to find something else to be douchey
young.
About. You
or
know what I mean? Like,
you're young. Like, yes.
That is your level of gatekeeping and douchebaggery. It's like, it's not money. It's like, oh, it's, you know, you don't, it's like people, it's art people. Like, oh, you just don't get it. It's like, no, you suck.
My brother was big on like, he would find different rappers like when they were on SoundCloud when we were in high school. Like, he was the one who introduced me to like Lil Uzi Vert or Kodak Black, or, you know, go down the list of artists who got big on SoundCloud. And it was always like, as soon as they got on Apple Music, it was, well, I don't listen to that guy anymore. Everyone listens
ever
to
since
him.
He went mainstream.
I liked him back in his first studio album. His first EP rocked.
Those people are weird to me. Like, I'll only listen to music before it's popular. Like, all of a sudden, it's not good after other people discover it.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, artists will evolve. Like, Killswitch Engage, Linkin Park, two of my favorite bands. I've saw them a million times, right? There's albums I like more than the others. Like, I don't like a lot of the later Linkin Park stuff.
Right. Well, and like, my brother, to be fair to him, he has grown out of this.
Sure.
He doesn't
but it,
do
but
this
it is, but it is a thing that you see happen all the time. But like, I can understand being like, I don't like their newer stuff or their I don't like their earlier stuff. Like,
that's
a normal thing. Mm-hmm. But the whole, like, I only like them because they're lesser known, that is 100% in this vein of what we're talking about.
Same thing with, like, a restaurant or, like, a bar. Like, I liked it back when it was a dive.
Yes.
And like, now they've changed it and everyone wants to come to my bar.
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, people bitching about like, and I guess this is kind of the opposite, but like people bitching about like, oh, I can go into my bar and I can't just get a shot and like a beer anymore. It's like, oh, this fancy mixology. That is the epitome of douche, because to them, like a screwdriver is mixology.
Yeah,
and it's like, just like, dude, get the hell out of my
That's
face.
A good call, mixology or mixologists. Like,
oh, yeah.
People who
but
are
that's
like,
also
I will,
true.
Oh, no, no.
I go to this bar.
The deconstructed drinker.
Yes.
That deconstructed drinker is another one on there. Here's one in the same vein. Is there some sort of Mendoza line for a man's age in wearing embroidered bejeweled jeans?
Yeah.
There's a line where that makes you a douche.
Yeah, it was middle school.
Yeah, 13, 14, maybe.
If you wear buckle jeans still, You suck.
Okay. If you were now, the studded
I
belt,
wore
you
buckle
suck.
Jeans in the early 2000s.
They were cool in the early 2000s.
Also, they were never the bedazzled version.
Is buckle still a thing?
I thought they're still in the mall.
Probably.
I
don't know that I go down to that part of the mall. It wouldn't shock me. There was a big buckle jeans store in the
Buckle
Vancouver Mall.
Is still in Washington Square.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. No, buckle was a big deal. Oh, in Hawkinson, you're like, come on now. You get your buckle jeans, all the cowboys and cowgirls.
Yeah.
Come on.
But yeah, no. When I was stationed in Texas, that was like the nice store.
The buckle. That's so true.
It was West Texas, buddy. It was... It's tough out there.
You know? It's like
nothing was bedazzled, but you could find a belt buckle however you wanted.
We're gonna eat fancy like we're going to Applebee's.
No, buddy, it was a dry county. I had to walk to Pinkies across the street on the other side of the county line to get my booze.
The buckle jeans.
Oh yeah,
that's fantastic.
Look, you know what? I want to give the Vancouver text line this because it's a solid joke. The guy that brags about his table does it because that's the only wood that's appreciated in his house.
It's the same thing with the tall truck guy.
There you go. Truck nuts.
Yep. Or the guy who, again, the guy who has the extremely loud car.
Yes. It's all in the same vein. All right. Appreciate everybody who's contributed to our discussion on the level of douchebaggery today. We may revisit this, but we have a ton of NFL to get to, and it's a football Friday, so coming up here in hour number three, we will be NFL heavy. The games that matter, the games that don't, and everybody who's sitting out. Danny and Dusty, Tenney the Fan.